Life had been bumpy, to say the least. God had met him and caught him up in an amazing adventure. But if he just stayed where he was and God had never met him, he probably would have been a farmer living and dying in the same place his whole life. Now, one of you in the back of your seats has got a spade, which is the first bit of our story. So this is what he would have been if he just stayed where he was his whole life. Anyone got the spade? Great. Could you bring it up and give it to Abby? And we're going to slide it along, and it's going to become our timeline of what happens in his life. Amazing. So if nothing had happened in his life, we don't need the rest of them just yet. That's okay. So if nothing had happened, he probably would have been farming in the same place by the time that he died from the time that he was born. It would have been a bit ordinary, wouldn't it? But God got hold of him and lots of things changed. What an easy job I've given us to do there. How wonderful, there's no knots in this piece of wire. But God got hold of him and said, you need to go to Canaan. Who's got Canaan on their bit of paper? Don't worry if it doesn't go all the way. There's only 10 of them, so I'm sure we'll fit. If you'd like to give it to Abby, she'll be very happy to sort that out for you. And so they go off to Canaan, and Abraham wanders around Canaan, and God says to him, this is the land you're going to get. What's interesting is he's quite young then. He hasn't gone through most of his life, and he's already in the land that's meant to be his at some point, but won't be his just yet. But then there's a famine, and there's no food. Who's got a sign that says no food, no drink? Bet we're wishing we didn't now, didn't we? So no food, no drink. And they go to Egypt, and he doesn't trust that he's going to be okay. He's really worried because he realizes that his wife is much too gorgeous for him. Anyone else have that experience? So around the church, there will be a picture of a particularly gorgeous lady somewhere in the back of a seat. Have you got it, Zach? Brilliant. Bring it up. So I've got a picture of a gorgeous lady, but because I knew that Rachel wouldn't like it, I've got a picture of me back in the day as well. It's how I used to look before three children had ruined me. But he thinks death's on the cards for him. He thinks he can't have his wife because she's too gorgeous. So he's like, I'll give the wife to the Pharaoh, but then he gets sick because he realizes that actually he shouldn't be going with Abraham's wife. Are you doing well there, Zach?
There's just too many knots in it.
There's too many knots, fair enough. And so they get chucked out of Egypt and they go on their way, and his nephew, who's called Lot, splits up from him and they go in two different directions. And his nephew, Lot, ends up going to Sodom, and disaster's about to befall him because the whole city had gone wrong. And so God says, shall I hide from them what's going to happen? So someone should have a picture of someone with a blindfold. You got one? Good. And so there's... That isn't what Rachel needed when she married me. No. And so there's this thing where God is like saying... And there's a conversation between the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do we need to hide from Abraham that there's going to be a disaster in the city where his nephew lives, or not? And there's an interesting bit there when God says, shall I hide what I'm about to do? And the answer is no. And God says, I've chosen him that he may be in charge of his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord so that all God has promised could happen. And it might remind you of when Jesus tells his disciples what's going to happen to him. And Jesus says, I tell you all these things because you're my friends. I let you in on the secrets. And perhaps in your life too, you might think, well, some things God doesn't tell me about my life, but other things he like lets me in on it because I'm his friend and he loves me. Are you enjoying that? We're doing all right. Okay. So what was God's plan? That Abraham would leave his homeland, take possession of the land. He'd have millions of descendants and he'd be a blessing throughout the world. And so therefore, two of you, one of you's got a picture of stars, because he's going to have more descendants than the stars in the sky. And one of you's got a picture of sand because he was going to have more descendants than the sand on the seashore. So we've got the stars. Who's got the sand? Brilliant. Excellent. I've got sandcastles because I thought otherwise it looks like nothing, doesn't it? Now, what's really interesting is that Abraham has been through loads of his life so far before the whole thing about having a child and all of that. There we go. Oh, then we've got Isaac's born. Has anyone got baby Isaac? Great. And then someone else should have the ram that God provided, because God said to him, you're going to have to sacrifice your son. They kind of knew that wasn't going to really happen because we're told it was a test. And Abraham is already saying to Isaac, look, we are going to sacrifice and then we are going to come back again. So there was a sort of expectation that he was never going to actually have to end the life of his son. So, quick question for you and someone near you. If you were God and you were going to put a test in front of Abraham at some point in his life, where would you have most thought you needed to test him to see if he had the kind of courage and determination to see this thing through? So have a chat with someone near you. If you were going to test him somewhere in his life, where would you have tested him? Which point in his life would you have tested him to see if he could really go through with this? That'll be fine, because we haven't got any more. That will do, they can stay there. Do you want to tie it on the top and then you can sit down? So who would have tested him near the start? Okay. Who would have tested him near the middle? Who would have tested him right down here? Interesting. So I've done... Come on. Can you click it at the back for me? Lost the power. Andy, can you give us a click? I've lost the magic. There we go. Now, I've drawn you a little chart of his life. And so we start at the far left. He's got no kids, no land, but he's got a promise. Then he's got no kids, no land, and a promise, but a famine. And then he's gone to Egypt, and then Lot nearly dies, and so on. And you might think, why not test him earlier? But God tests him through saying, would you sacrifice your son quite late? In fact, he's only got two chapters left until he dies, which is a bit odd, really. And I was mulling over this and thinking, why does God test him so late in his life? And maybe it's because of this. That earlier in his life, when he had no children and he had no land, he knew it was all outside of his control. He could not make it happen. But as soon as the first child is born, that's the first moment he could have said, oh, I'll be okay now without you, God. We've got one child. We know how this kind of works. And so maybe that's why God tests him at this point, because it was the first time that he could have wrestled it back out of God's hands and said, I've relied on you so far, but now I'm good. I'll just go and get on with it myself. And I wonder how often we might look at this for ourselves and for churches and say, do you know what? It's when it all goes great, it's tempting to go, God, we don't really need you so much. Let's not worry about praying so much. Let's just crack on. But actually, it's in those moments we need to come back to him again and to say again, God, we need you. Would you help us? Abraham celebrated. He remembered all that God had done. And he calls God Yahweh Jireh, which means the Lord will provide or the Lord sees. He celebrates in that moment. So I'm going to ask you just three little questions. There we go. That are going to make sense hopefully in a minute. So as we look back just for a second in 2023, there's probably lots that we might celebrate. I'm going to give you a little list. We have, as a church, seen people come to faith. We have seen people in our communities hear about Jesus of all ages and stages. We have, I hope, each of us grown in our faith. We started a friendship cafe in the local care home. Many of us have been trained to share our faith with our friends and have had opportunities to do that. We've been able to do good in the lives of other people and in our schools and all over the place. We had amazing Christmas services where people I've never met came along and enjoyed it and heard about Jesus. We've seen God provide financially, although we need to pray for more of that. And we've seen God do great things. Now, if I asked you to just think for a second yourself, what happened to you in 2023 that you'd want to say thank you to God for? You don't need to call them out, but just reflect for a second. What can you remember that God did that was brilliant? You may have had a difficult year. God was still there. But then if we think a little bit about looking forwards, I wonder what we pray for. Now, there'll be some things in life when you think, well, this is likely to be a continuation from last year. Last year, God talked to me lots about this and used me in this way. He's likely to do that again. And then there's other things where you think, I think there's a change on the horizon. So let me give you some thoughts. I imagine, as a church, God will continue to speak to us about being family together, about knowing each other better, about trying to make sure everyone is welcomed well. I imagine he'll continue to talk to us about reaching out, about being a blessing in our neighborhoods. I imagine he'll continue to speak to us about how to grow our worship, and many of you have joined our teams here. But I imagine there's also things that will change. Things that we think, oh, that's a bit new, either for us individually or for us as a whole church. Thinking briefly about our second reading, the disciples had healed people, they'd gone out, they'd done amazing things, but Pentecost was going to mark a change for them. There'd be some things still the same, they'd see healings, they'd see great stuff happen, but also there would be new things that would happen. So just turn to your neighbour for a second. By the end of the first century, that's 70 years after Jesus' death, how many Christians do you think there were? So just have a rough stab. How many would you guess? So that first season of them sharing faith and it's starting to grow. Would anyone like to have a stab? 70 years after Jesus' death, how many Christians? A million. Lower.
3,412.
Lower. 2,000. Now, we're a bit closer. There was about 7,500 Christians at the end of, 100. So 70 years after Jesus, 7,500 Christians. Okay? So that's like the whole season where the apostles went out and they shared faith and they did all that stuff and they planted churches. Next question, how many by 200 AD? So another 100 years later, how many? It's a bigger number. 7,500 at the end of 100 to 250,000 at the end of 200. Like, that is an enormous jump. And so I would just want us to reflect and think, what could be in the next season? What is it that God does that's perhaps different? And then what are the things that he might do that would be the same? Andy, can I have the reflection or the responsey bit, please? Because there are three questions that I'd love us to spend a bit of time praying about. So here we go. Here are the three questions. What are you praying about as we start 2024? Second question, what do you think God is saying, same again, please? Now, I've put Dory up there because in Finding Nemo, she always says, I'm just going to keep swimming, right? And for some of us, we're like, there'll be a bunch of stuff which is just keep going, okay? And then the last one, what do you think God might be saying, something new, please? Three questions. If you'd like to take a bit of time, you're welcome to talk to someone, or you don't have to. Spend a bit of time praying about it and just ask God, what should I be praying about? What's going to be same again? What's going to be new? Feel free to talk or feel free to start praying straight away. Let me pray for us. Father, we pray that you'd steer us and guide us so we know what to pray for. Thank you that you've got good plans and purposes. Thank you, God, that you use our creativity and our ideas as well in the mix. God, we thank you for the things you've already talked to us about, and you're going to say more of that again, please. That was good. But we pray, God, to keep our ears open for the things which you're going to say, something new in this season. God, thank you that you walk with us. And like Abraham, when he looked at it all and would have thought, it's just too much. We pray, God, that you would give us your eyes to see. We pray, Holy Spirit, like you empower the disciples, that you would empower us. We pray, God, help us to dream those dreams that are from you, to have that amazing hope of all that you're going to do. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, give us the courage to walk into all that you have for us. Amen. One last little thought. Imagine if I said to you this afternoon to go and get in your car if you have one, turn your sat nav off and go by prayer. So you get to a junction and you say to God, left or right, please, God. And you drive on. And let's say at some point you get to Wales and you enter Wales and you feel the Lord say, this is your land. Go and fill the land, go and become a great nation. and you spend 25 years driving around Wales. Really slowly, because Wales isn't that big, right? And you're driving around, and you don't ask the Welsh what they think, because they might not like it. And after a while, you'd think, I'm not really sure about this plan. This doesn't feel quite right. And what I think is fascinating about Abraham is he hangs on to what God says, even when it must have felt like, is this going to even happen? Like, even when his wife died, when he was really old, he had to buy land in order to bury her, because he didn't own enough land yet. And yet this was all going to be his land according to God's promise. But he had to stand on God's promises anyway. And for some of us, we might just be encouraged this morning, listen to God, hang on to what he says, even when it seems like it's not quite happening yet. And if that's you, you might want prayer at the end. Jacob, can we have the band back up?